We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find this podcast almost everywhere you can find podcasts. 1080thefan.com, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Omni. And then social media pages, Instagram.com/Beers on Us. Send us DMs. My personal page is at MikeLynch27. And the return of Patrick Harris.
I'll be back.
But you're already here, though.
All right.
You are back.
I just like Michael Scott.
Well, who doesn't? Come on.
I'll be back.
You can find him on Instagram at pdiddy085, and you can see all of the pictures he took of nature and the cabins that he stayed on his sabbatical throughout the Northwest.
Yes.
Idaho, Montana, Spokane, Leavenworth, Seattle, San Juan's, Forks,
Port Angeles. Almost in that order, too.
I know. I keep forgetting Port Angeles because I don't know. What is Port Angeles? I don't even know.
Well, it's the gateway to Canada, which is why it's closed.
I see.
There's a great ferry that takes you from Port Angeles to
Victoria, right?
To Victoria. Yeah, it's fantastic. You can see Canada.
Victoria's great.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone.
There's also a ferry from Seattle that goes there.
I really wish I could have taken that one, too.
That one's very nice, but also very expensive. Anyway, so he is back. And our podcast today is going to be called Patrick's Week in Beer, because we do our week in beer, but the whole episode is about his week in beer, or his 2 weeks in beer.
Sure.
So we'll call it Patrick's
Week in
Beer. Yeah. Let's talk about my week in beer briefly.
Love it.
And then we'll get to the episode itself, talking about your week in beer. We are drinking a beer right now, slowly. We'll get to it when we get to it. My week in beer, I did something that I wasn't expecting myself to do. I tried a brewery that I had sworn off years ago. I went down to Bend with my ex-wife, and we did a trip where we walked, and we did all the breweries in the city, basically in one day, except for Worthy, which is further. Mm. It wasn't really a walking distance. We went to this brewery, and it was, to me, by far the worst brewery we went to on that day.
Yikes.
So because of that, I've been, like, vampire, like, holding up, like, my ex-arms to block forever. I went to Market of Choice. I saw it on the shelf, and I was like, nope. But something caught my eye about the can, and I looked at it. It was called Lots of Hops, number one. I love when breweries do these series. Like, I get really into, like, trying to try all the series. Like, I love the Sown and Grown from Balebreaker. Mm-hmm. So I turned the can to read about it, and what did it say? OBA, Small Brewery of the Year. And I went, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that they won that.
And so I looked at the can, and it was like, this is our new West Coast IPA series. I was like, well, I like West Coast IPAs. This brewery is Immersion Brewing. I had such a bad experience there that I just never wanted to drink it again. And, you know, I said, you know what? Small Brewery of the Year, those people know what they're talking about. Let me give it another go. Maybe I still won't like it. I don't know. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I was very surprised because I went in with the lowest possible expectations. And it surprised me. So, hey, Immersion, bravo.
You know, that's a good thing, because that's happened to me before. I mean, I remember the first time I had Frame beer. I was like, this beer's not good. This beer is not good at all. And I went years and years without drinking Freeman. And then somebody was like, oh, have you ever had Freeman? I was like, yeah, that beer's garbage. And they were somebody who I trusted in their, like, palate and beer. This is probably 4 or 5 years ago. They looked at me and they were like, you should probably go back to that. And I went back to it and was like, oh, this is great.
I'm an idiot.
I really love this. So it's funny. Like, that's why it's kind of fun to check back in on some breweries after a little bit of time, because you never know. They could get better. Some get worse.
Yep.
It's just
a lot
of
can change in 5 years.
A lot can change. You don't know who's still working there, who's not working there anymore, who's new.
Right. So I had that. It was enjoyable. I had the Hauntingly Pale Ale from Block 15 called Story of the Ghost. I didn't realize it was almost 9% when I bought it.
Yep.
It did knock me on my ass a little bit after having it.
Yep.
But I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
They do that beer every single year. I think it's a Fish reference.
Like the band Fish?
Like the band, yeah. Mm.
Okay, I know nothing about them. So I know you knew something about them.
I know a little bit about
them. Well, you're
that
a jam band guy.
I am a jam band guy, but Fish is its own thing.
I also had a style that we've had once on the podcast, and I went into it with a completely different mindset. I had Heater Allen's Sticky.
Oh, yeah,
beer,
yeah.
Which we had from Trapdoor on the podcast that we, I don't think it's on the shelf as you look over there. But
pre-COVID days, huh?
It was pre-COVID days. We were very, like, we weren't enthused with the beer because we were expecting an alt beer, and it's not.
Yeah.
So I went in and going, okay, this is not an alt beer. It's a Sticky. And it was quite good. Plus, Heater Allen.
Heater Allen makes good
beer.
Doesn't
make bad beer, really. Yeah. So that was my week in beer. I also bought Sierra Nevada, not pale ale.
Whoa.
I brought their Celebration fresh hop ale, which I saw, it looks fresh on the shelf, so I got that. And I still have some Jubilee Ale and some Bad Santa in the fridge. Jubilee Ale, like always. Very good. Enjoyable.
Don't they make Red Chair this time of year too?
I don't know.
I usually like that beer, but
I think that might come out more like in February.
Okay.
I think. I could be very wrong about that. Correct us. Instagram.com/beersonus. We like the interaction. All right. So on the podcast today, the topic of the week as Patrick spreads COVID into this room.
Yeah. I don't know what that was. I had something in my throat. It was not COVID. It was just something in my throat.
The other thing that would be in your throat. your week in beer was many places and many states and many adventures. And do you want to go chronological order, or do you want to go in order of best to worst, or what are you thinking?
I'll probably go chronological because I'll remember it easier.
Okay. So let's begin in Idaho.
Last night I was at the... Last night I was at the Grains of Wrath opening, soft opening, like media friends and family thing. Their new spot in North Williams. I posted on Instagram about it. A really cool spot. And I ran into friend of the podcast, Brian Cook, owner of Lombard House. Great guy. And Charles was there as well. So it was nice to kind of BS.
Friend of the podcast who I haven't met yet because you brought him in when I was away.
And Charles Culp was there. So it was good to see him as well because I haven't seen him probably since the whole pandemic started. And Brian turns to me and he goes, "So, Patrick, tell me about your week in beer." So, Brian, this next... however long is for you, buddy.
Well, and for everybody else.
Sure, and for everybody else. But it was a heat cast. And
I like that he's like, you know, it's part of the podcast.
He's like, "How was your week in beer?" And I was like, "Oh, man, I don't know where to start, dude."
So you just didn't talk?
Just
listen to the podcast tomorrow.
Oh, man, dude, that's a tough question. Get up, walk away.
Is Patrick okay? You like yell across the room, "Listen to tomorrow's podcast."
So everything started in Idaho, and I took a lot of beer with me to begin because I knew where I was going in Idaho wasn't going to have a lot of access to craft breweries. I'm really out in the middle of nowhere where I went to Idaho, more so than any other place that I'd been. So I knew that was going to be a little bit of a challenge. So I took a bunch of local stuff, took some Barrelick stuff out there, took some Breakside stuff out there, had some Crowlers and some fun stuff like that, and then was all good to go. I realized one night that I really needed to watch a baseball game.
Yeah, you really did not plan this trip well, considering you were out during the World Series.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, both LCSs and the World Series, so that was shame on me for my bad on that. So I wanted to go watch a baseball game, so I found this lodge literally in the middle of nowhere, and they had the baseball game on, but it was like the format on the TV was all messed up, so you couldn't see the score.
Oh, like it was cut off?
Yeah, it was like cut off. You couldn't see the score or the inning, so I had no idea what was going on in the game, and there was no volume, but I was watching Kershaw, and I was like, okay.
There you go.
It wasn't the World Series. They were still playing the Braves. Anyway, and I ordered they had an Oktoberfest on from Byron, which is a brewery in Montana, a lager brewery in Montana. And I got really excited, and I sent you this picture of it. This thing was almost jet black, and I was like, "Oh, dang, what did I do? Did you pour me the right beer?" Because I saw that they also had a Scotch ale on draft as well that we will get into later.
Yeah, that's a little tease.
And so I was like, "Oh God, did she pour me a Scotch ale on accident?" And I tasted it, and sure enough, it tasted like an Oktoberfest, kind of.
Did it really?
Kind of. It tasted. It did not look like one.
Yeah, when you think Oktoberfest, I think of like amber and golden.
Yeah.
And jet black. And it was. You sent me the picture.
It wasn't jet black, but it was damn close. Like, I mean, it looked like a robust.
Stout.
Dark brown.
Yeah.
It was okay. So I was like, oof, I got to get a bunch of stuff back in the cabin. that supply depleted quickly.
Mm.
But then I left Idaho and I got to Missoula. And Missoula's a budding beer scene there. And so I tried to stop at a bunch of places. I did stop at Byron because I wanted to drink some lagers. And everything I had on draft was great. I even did a little taster flight and tasted everything on there. They had like a black Hefeweizen that I thought was really cool.
That's interesting.
The bartender was like, that's my favorite beer. And I was like, just purely judging him. I was like, your favorite beer is a black Hefeweizen? You're a loser.
And then you tried it?
And then I tried it. And I was like, oh, this isn't bad. It was not my favorite. The Helles and the Pilsner were the best.
Good.
But I tasted it. I was like, oh, okay. This isn't so bad. Nice job, kid. I still think you're an idiot.
You've got a future, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And then I kind of danced around. Well, I did go to this place. Oh, man, I can't think of what it's called. It starts with a T, but I just stopped in because the Google Maps told me to go there, and I stopped in, and I had a pint, and then woof.
Oh.
I was like, this is not going well.
Okay.
But I stopped at a place called Imagine Nation.
Corny. Cool.
Yeah. Apparently, they are one of the better breweries in town, but their taproom was closed. They just had to-go beer.
Okay.
So I bought some to-go beer. I gave you the stout. And I
that's the one you gave me?
Yep, okay. I gave you the stout, and I have some others at home that I have yet to try.
Okay.
Because I was so scared that I just kept drinking Wanderlust and Punk Rock Time and Vienna Lager.
You were like, please don't hurt me.
Yeah. And where else did I bounce around? Then I went to some other places. I stopped at Kettle Works.
Kettle House.
Kettle House, thank you, which is what we are currently drinking right now.
Yes, we are drinking the Kettle House Northwest India Pale Ale. That is the name of it. There is no name. It's just the Northwest India Pale Ale. Doesn't have any description. Oh, no. Juicy, citrusy, dry hopped. That's okay. The description.
You're like, that sounds like, you know, an IPA.
We've had about a couple of sips of this each. What are you thinking?
It tastes old.
It's oxidized.
Well, I don't know how oxidized is it. I don't know if it's oxidized.
I taste a little of the cardboardy.
Do you? Because I just think it is just kind of flabby.
It was canned on September 3rd.
That's not great.
And that is, at this point, basically 2 months ago.
And I bought this beer at the brewery.
Yeah.
When it was at the brewery.
A week and a half ago.
Yeah.
So it was about 6 to 7 weeks old when you bought it.
Yeah, and I stopped in and watched the rest of the baseball game, and the bartender was really, really nice. There was a lot of baseball watched and listened to on this trip.
Well, of course.
Like everything's like, well, I had to go this far away.
Just to watch baseball.
And so the reason I stopped at this place was because people kept saying, yeah, you know, Kettle Works, Kettle House, whatever. I can't even say the name of it. Yeah, this is the place you got to go. But I noticed at the little, there's a tiny little store at a log cabin I stayed at in Idaho that had Kettle House beer.
Mm.
Then I stopped at a gas station in Lolo Pass. And I always just kind of take a peek at the beer section just to see.
Mm-hmm.
See how far some of the stuff we get goes. And I see that same Kettle House beer. Then I get to Missoula and I go into a store and I see that same Kettle House beer. So I was like, all right, I got to go to Kettle House.
Yeah.
So I bought this variety pack because in it has what I've learned to find out is the most popular beer in the state of Montana. And I brought it in for beer of the week.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I think we're both a little terrified.
I am definitely terrified.
I've liked this style in the past, but I have not had this style in many a moon.
I don't like this style. I'm just going to say it. It's high ABV, it's malt forward, and it's just not a me
thing. We'll talk about it, but you brought it up a little bit in the podcast last mm-hmm. week, but if you didn't hear it, we'll talk about your conversation finding out that this was the most popular beer style in Montana.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this beer, it's old.
It just tastes kind of old.
Yeah. A little oxidized to me. I get a little bit of the cardboard in there. I'm starting to find that. I've learned that flavor in my palate, and I get really depressed when I find it. I'm like, oh.
It was pretty eye-opening when I learned that one, too.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Montana.
So, no, we leave Missoula, and we go up to Kalispell and Whitefish, because I want to go up to Glacier.
The land of the KKK.
I want to go up to Glacier. And so I stopped at this little place called Bonsai Brewing, and I had their barrel-aged... They had a barrel-aged Baltic Porter, I think it was.
And you had that.
I had that. Well, they only had four beers on. They were closing the next day.
Like permanently?
Yeah. Well, not permanently, but like for the winter. They were like, yeah, we're just pouring whatever we got.
Oh, okay.
And I had a hazy IPA from them that I did not enjoy. But I liked the barrel-aged beer a lot.
That's cool.
They served it to me in a pint glass. So okay. I was like, okay.
You're going to get a lot of barrel-aged action going on there.
Okay. And then I danced around Kalispell a little bit, and I went to Kalispell Brewing Company, and I went to this other place called Bias Brewing, and I went to another spot. Oh, no. What was that called? It starts with an S in Kalispell. And you know what? For the most part...
I am of no help when you ask the question.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not going to figure it out even if I think about it. And you know what? For the most part, a lot of the beer that I had wasn't bad. It wasn't, like, god-awful. The first beer I had was in Missoula was god-awful.
That probably set you, like, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, what have I done? But, you know, I was at Kalispell Brewing, and I thought that they had a few beers that were pretty solid. I had one beer at Bias. I thought that was pretty good. I mean, my standards have been lowered, so I think I'm being a little nice when I say that they were pretty good. But this is what I took away from my time in Montana, is outside of Bayern, I am, like, desperately looking for lagers, because that's what we drink
because
here
Because you're
now.
A crispy boy.
We drink West Coast IPAs and German lagers. Like, that's what we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hoping to find some, you know, crispies out there. Nobody makes lagers.
Except for Bayern.
Except for Bayern.
But that's because they're a German brewery.
And what I thought was really interesting was I was at this brewery and I asked the bartender, you know, I mentioned this last week, you know, I asked him how come, you know, people don't make lagers. He said tank space. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But what I thought was interesting was Kalispell Brewing made a Pilsner.
Okay.
It was Tuski Brewski is what it's called.
Pretty cool name.
I ended up buying a six pack.
I like that name.
I ended up buying a six pack because I couldn't find any lagers anywhere.
Right.
And I was like, and I had one. I was like, you know what? This isn't bad. I'm going to take this. And every person I talked to was like, yeah, nobody makes lagers. Kalispell Brewing Company makes that Tuski Brewski Pilsner, and it's kind of meh. And I was like, what did you just say to me? Would you call my mama? Because I like thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it by any means. I bought a six pack. I didn't need beer, and I bought a six pack.
So their palates are just so different than ours for what they expect.
Yeah.
Right?
It wasn't the best Pilsner in the world, but I didn't get cream corn. I didn't get green apple. I didn't get, you know, acetaldehyde or DMS. I didn't get diacetyl. I didn't get really off flavors.
Okay.
And it just blew my mind that everybody was like, you know, Kalispell makes one, but it's pretty meh. And I was like, what do you guys all have against Kalispell Brewing? Like they're all fighting with each other or something. Anyway, so Montana was strange.
Montana was Montana.
Montana was Montana.
All right. I mean, I guess I would say that based on my expectations, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always cautiously optimistic. You know, I'm like, you can do it, guys. I believe in you.
I've had enough experiences leaving this state and trying beer where I've been like, you guys think this is really good? I mean, it's fine.
I mean,
like, I can drink it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's okay.
I remember when I went to Minnesota and like I was there with people and they were like super excited. Minnesota's the best craft beer place in the country. And I was like, first of all, wrong. Stop. It may be growing. And they were like, no, it is. And I was like, look it up. And they were like, oh, okay, Oregon's number one. And I was like, that's right. But I remember going to Surly, right, which is really well known out of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen their beer here, too. It's fine. It's good. But it wasn't blow me away good. Like,
right.
With our best breweries here, it's everything just blows you away, right?
Right.
So I think I've had enough experiences where it's like the palates are so different because you've been drinking Miller Coors and AB InBev and, you know, then you get that. Whatever brewery, you know, Kalispell, and you're like, oh, okay, but this is what we like. Like, it's better.
That's what makes me wonder. Like, I think where a lot of Montana is right now, at least in the places I went, especially Kalispell, Whitefish area, is I think when they want craft beer, they want an IPA, an amber, a stout. If they want a lager, they drink Coors Light.
Right.
Like that craft lager has just not reached it yet.
Right. It might never reach it too.
Right.
You know?
It might never.
Okay. So then you went to your hometown, your birth town.
My town of birth.
Your hometown is Vancouver, but your birth town is Spokane.
Yes. I was born in Spokane. I lived there till I was 11 and I grew up in Vancouver.
I guess that kind of makes that more your hometown then.
Yeah, I don't know, though. More of my conscious life.
You claim Vancouver.
I claim Vancouver. Yeah. Most of my conscious life, like where I really grew up, where I evolved into a man, as one would say, I was in Vancouver. But I was born in Spokane.
You were high all the time and just unconscious when you were in Spokane?
But I was born in Spokane. I still got some family that lives up there. And so I stopped in. I was only going to be there for a day, but I ended up being there for 2 days. And I did a little brewery hopping because I know, you know, a couple things about it, that it's a budding scene. And
so was Missoula, though.
And so was Missoula. So I was like, okay, here we go again. How much wanderlust do I got left? Victor, friend of the show, had also given me some advice on places to go as well.
In Spokane.
In Spokane. I danced around. I went to Perry Street trying to chase that gold medal IPA that they had. They did not have it on tap. I was a couple days early, so that was a little disappointed.
That is
but
upsetting.
The beer I had there was solid. Went to Noli, the big boy in town. Mm-hmm. Figured I should check that out. It was fine. It was fine. It was good. It was really slow. The service was good, but you could tell that they were kind of just like, they're used to being really busy, and because of COVID, they're not. And so that was tough. But the woman who was my bartender, she gave me a list of places to go, which pretty much coincided with what I had already heard.
Okay.
I stopped at, per Victor's suggestion, I stopped at a Whistle Punk, which was definitely one of the best breweries in town. I picked up some Helles from them, so I thought that was really good. I didn't really care for a lot of their hoppy stuff, but they had an English-style IPA that I enjoyed. And then there was my favorite brewery that I ran into there, was Iron Goat. I really enjoyed that across the board.
Love the name.
Yeah, I tasted a bunch of different stuff from them, lagers, hoppy beers, and I even went home with a barrel-aged sour with fruit. I really enjoyed that spot. And I remember walking away from Spokane going, not bad. Not bad.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I went to
Learning, young Padawan. Yeah. You're learning.
And then I went to Leavenworth and drank oxidized beer all weekend.
You did?
Yeah, dude. All that German beer up there is all so old. And
that's true.
Like traveled across the Atlantic and, you know, it's just been like sitting warm for a year. You know what I mean?
I've always wanted to go to Leavenworth. It looks really cool.
It's awesome. It was a really cool spot. I went to Icicle Brewing, which I ended up buying a 6-pack of their pale ale to drink in the hotel. It was fine. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was fine. But I did have a Freem Pilsner at this tap house. I rolled in and they had Freem Pilsner, and I was like, I'll have one of those Freem Pilsners. The guy was like, you got it, man. This is my favorite beer on draft. And I was like looking at the rest of the board, and I was like, no S, Sherlock. I was like, look at this other crap you're drinking. And I sat there and drank a Freem Pilsner, and I was like, this is delicious.
After 7 days of like... Oh, this is fine. God, yes. Oh, God. I'm just trying to make my way through.
Just wanting a Pilsner.
Yep.
Just a light lager. Because I brought some You and Me Vienna from Bear Lake because I love Vienna. And I brought that fresh hop ESB from them as well because I love that style and that beer from them and some IPA. But I didn't really bring enough light lager. So having that Freem Pilsner 7 days into my trip was just... I definitely kind of had a moment of breath.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of went.
You were free.
I made it. I made it. And then we went to Seattle. And Seattle, you know, it's interesting up there because it's like here, but it's a lot colder up there right now.
Okay.
So sitting outside was not fun.
Although you just missed it. It was that cold last week here.
Oh, was it?
Nighttime was getting to like 25, 30. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't like the daytime high was still 40, 50, but it was cold last week.
Because even daytime, I was sitting outside at Ruben's and I was like, man, you guys are lucky. I love this beer because I am freezing.
Oh, dude, it was cold. Trust me. We went out, me and my roommate and some friends went to a park on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We were there for like 20 minutes. It was like, we can't do this. It was freezing.
Yeah, so I drank a couple beers at Ruben's and then I stopped by Stoop, which is right around the corner. There's like 5 breweries in that spot right there.
Cool.
There is...
I love little pods like that.
Yeah, there's Ruben's, Stoop, Urban Family, some place called Obeck that I had never heard of. And then I think the Great Notion is not too far away from there. But this is like 4 breweries in 2 blocks.
Mm.
And it's like a neighborhood.
Okay.
So it's really cool. It's really funky.
So if you ever move to Seattle, you're moving to that neighborhood.
Yeah, in the Ballard. Well, I've lived in the Ballard neighborhood before. That place is great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fancy Patrick over here.
And then I picked up some to-go beer from Stoop, picked up to-go beer from Rubens, picked up some to-go beer from Cloudburst, got a dry hop Pilsner from Stoop that I liked, and a West Coast, felt like Simcoe kind of forward IPA from Stoop, and then a four-pack of new experimental hop Talus from Cloudburst. And then I spent a day where I drove up to Bellingham, because Bellingham's only an hour and a half away.
And they have some good breweries, I hear, too.
I only went to one.
Okay.
There's only one that I needed to go to. And I sat there for a couple hours and had some beers. And
you enjoyed yourself.
Read a book and got scared by the train that drove by. And then I drove back to Seattle.
You had some light lagers.
I had some light lagers.
Patrick, of course, is talking about Chuckanut Brewing.
I went to the holy source that is Chuckanut. And it was raining so hard that I did not even take a picture of anything, because I was just trying to get from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought a t-shirt, I bought a beer for the messenger, and I bought a Pilsner glass.
Cool.
To drink in my house.
Very cool.
Their beer's excellent. I had an Asian lager.
I imagine even on tap it's even better.
I had an Asian lager that was fantastic.
Mm.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Mm.
It was great. And then I had their Vienna.
Of course you did.
And I was like, I have to drive. This sucks. How much beer can I buy to go?
And then you went to Port Angeles. No, then you went to San Juan Islands.
Then I went to the San Juan Islands. If you are really interested in the craziest part of my San Juan Islands trip, you should listen to the Hot Corner podcast from last night, where I will tell you about how I waited in line for a ferry for 2 hours. That was 2 hours late, but caught the end of game four of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of, like, I had to drive somewhere because I needed to watch the game. But I stopped at San Juan Brewing Company on the island
today.
In Friday Harbor. It's just a cool little spot. It's, you know, I think their beer is pretty solid. I think the food is good. I had good service. The place is kind of fun. And it's just one of those, I don't really know if it's good or not. I just like going there.
Yeah, it's like just like a happy place.
Yeah, it's just like a happy place.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I also drank at Lowercase Brewing. My friends at Lowercase Brewing, which is down in Georgetown kind of area, like just south of the stadiums.
So
they do
Seattle
a lot of lagers. Yeah, they do a lot of lagers. And they sent me home with a flat of beer that I'm going to drink through.
And you're very excited about it.
I'm very excited. It's a New England-style lager, a wit beer, an Italian pilsner, an American lager. And there's one more that I can't think of.
Speaking of Italian pilsners, if you see it, try Coldfire's Italian pilsner.
Coldfire, huh?
I had it 2 weeks ago.
That brewery is climbing and climbing and climbing.
That beer was quite good.
All right.
Is it climbing and climbing and climbing?
Yeah.
Why do you say it like that?
Just because I haven't really had their beer.
Mm.
So I don't really know, but everybody's like, beer's pretty good.
It was a good Italian pilsner. I've been hit or miss with those. Like, I haven't loved every single one I've had. I like that one.
Just was a reminder. So I've been gone for 2 weeks and I forget like all these breweries. I'm like,
drink that and drink the McMinnville Harvest Lager from here on.
Ah, my arm. Okay.
Pull it harder.
Ah. Then I went to Port Angeles and...
I can't imagine there's a lot of beer in Port Angeles.
There was a brewery that I went to watch Monday Night Football this time. There was not a baseball game on. It was the off day. and yeah... Beer was pretty meh. And so then I left Port Angeles and went to Forks because I wanted to...
The home of Twilight.
That's what everybody says to me. I've never seen these movies or read these books. I have no idea.
They are based in Forks, Washington.
But it's
because
also...
it never stops raining there. It is the wettest place in the entire state, apparently.
But there was there's a great entrance into the Olympic National Forest there, which is what I wanted to check out.
Your pictures look pretty cool from there.
Yeah, the Olympics were fun. The Olympics in Idaho were my favorite in terms of outdoor beauty.
Good bookending parts of the trip, though.
Yeah, yeah. And what's hilarious is I could not find a bar or restaurant in Forks that had a television where I could also drink alcohol. There was a bowling alley in Forks that I walked in. I was like creeping from the outside and looked and saw like... probably 2-year-old IPAs in bottles in a cooler. And I was like, well, there's beer. I looked over and saw the baseball game. I was like, well, there's baseball. All right. This can't be that bad. Opened the door, took one smell, was like, nope. Turned around and walked out instantly. I even had a mask on and was like, nope, I am out of here. So to watch the baseball game, I drove back to that said brewery
in Port Angeles.
And watched the baseball game before I went home. And now I'm back.
All right. Well, that was a very exciting week in beer for one Patrick Harris.
Yeah, it was.
What was your favorite brewery total? Was it the Iron Goat? Out of all the places you went?
I don't think it's fair to say Chuck and Nut.
Okay, sure.
Because I think...
Favorite
new brewery, definitely Iron Goat.
Okay.
That was the spot. I really liked... What am I trying to say?
I don't know. You're the one speaking.
I really liked Whistle Punk.
Also Spokane.
Like, at the brewery was really cool. It's kind of like bougie almost. It's all wood, and it's kind of like sunken down in an alleyway.
Those two things don't sound bougie at all. All well, wood and sunken.
Well, I guess more like
it
a
sounds
little,
like an old wooden ship.
No, it's more like speakeasy-ish.
Okay. Well, with a name like Whistle Punk, I kind of
like
imagine
loungy sort of thing.
It would be something like that. A
yeah,
little bit,
it was, that was a really cool
like
spot.
Like a little like steampunk, but a little like yeah, that's kind of how I pictured it.
I enjoyed that. Okay. I liked that a lot. But cool. I would say yeah, number one overall, I really enjoyed Iron Goat.
Cool. And chucking up for the old reliable, of course.
Yeah,
of
old course. Trusty.
All right, there's Patrick's Week in Beer and our topic of the episode.
I forgot to mention that I also drank at Chuck's Hop Shop. I'd never been there before.
Mm.
Just a famous beer bar in Seattle.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun, yeah.
All right, cool.
There's a lot of beer there.
I would imagine.
A lot of beer for sale there. Like 24 taps, something crazy like that.
Wow.
And I was looking through. I did not need to buy any beer because I just left Reuben's. And, but I like did a little quick once through, like kind of look over at stuff and there's a lot of beer, a lot of beer.
All right. Well, let's get to the terrifying, but maybe good beer of the week here on Beers and Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Beer of the week time here on Beers and Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Patrick looks very, very, very upset. / curious?
I'm not upset. I'm not upset.
Not
yet. How can I be upset?
Not yet.
I'm hanging out with you. We're drinking beer. We're talking about beer.
We haven't tasted it yet. That's why you're not upset.
I ain't got a job. Like, life's chill, man.
All right, so.
What on earth do I have to be upset about?
The beer that we have in front of us is apparently the most popular style of beer in Montana.
Not just the most popular style in Montana, but this is the Montana beer.
This one right here?
Like, this is what every single place I went, every grocery store, every plaid pantry, every gas station, every person I talk to, this is their jam. This is their beer.
Well, I imagine it's cold in the winter there.
Sure.
And it
snowed when I was in Glacier. Whitefish at Glacier.
So this is a beer to warm your soul. And I don't know. Warm your
Get
soul.
Get you drunk.
I guess so. I mean, it's only 6.5.
Oh, okay. Wow, really? I expected it to be more.
This was also canned on 9/3, although I don't think this style relies on timing of canning as much. So this is also Cuttle House Brewing. This is Cold Smoke.
Cold Smoke Scotch Ale.
Which is a Scotch Ale. It says simply contents beer. Helpful. This says on the side, instead of what do the other ones say, it's right in front of me. Juicy, citrusy, and dry hopped. This is smooth, roasty, and robust finish.
Well, look at the little top part too, because I noticed that, because you were really worried about the name.
Mm-hmm. Brewed and canned by Kettle House Brewing in Bonner, Montana. Cold Smoke. Light, bottomless powder craved by skiers and boarders.
What? Maybe that's what Cold Smoke is, because you were worried about this being like smoky.
Oh,
I was like, I mean, I don't ski or snowboard.
Yeah, I'm not a winter sport guy either.
But maybe that's what Cold Smoke is. Yeah, because there is a skier on there.
Yes, that is true.
But I talked with people, and I was like, how? So tell me about this Cold Smoke. People are like, oh, Cold Smoke. Yeah, everybody loves that beer. I'm like, a Scotch ale? Like, you couldn't sell a Scotch ale if your life depended on it in Portland. And they looked at me very confused.
Mm.
They were like, really? Nobody likes Scotch ales? And I was like, no. Like, not at all. Like, what's wrong with you people?
Did you say it like that?
No, because I was being polite and friendly.
Plus, but sometimes polite and friendly, you still get that, like, extra, like, no.
Right, but I was also afraid that I was going to get judged for wearing a mask and stuff like that. So I was just very nice to people. Mm. And
You were definitely judged for wearing a mask.
Oh, definitely, especially in Idaho. Don't sleep on Northwest Washington either.
Okay.
A lot of crazy going on up there. And so I just looked at them. I said, you couldn't sell this style if your life depended on it in Portland. And they were so confused by that because it seems so straightforward that who doesn't want a Scotch ale? Me, I don't. Most people in this market don't at all.
Yeah. It's like maybe the last style someone would ask for.
And then I asked my buddy who's from Seattle. We went to Wazoo together. He lives in Columbia Falls, which is right outside of Kalispell. And I was like, dude, what's the deal with Cold Smoke? He was like, Cold Smoke? I love that beer. Every time we go to the mountain, throw a couple of those in my jacket. Whoa, nice day. I was like, no. Like, no. I'd rather slam six Rainiers.
So, I haven't had a Scotch ale since I moved here. I first went to Thirsty Lion, which is one of my favorite, like, go out for a quick Saturday night bite to eat, or hell, Tuesday night, whatever. Down by Washington Square. That's the one I would go to. And they would have the Fearless Scotch Ale, right? I don't even know where Fearless is.
Fearless is a brewery that is no longer.
Okay. But they had the Scotch Ale from there. And this was when I first moved here. So I was looking at the malt section and I was looking for those kind of beers. It was good, right? I enjoyed it. I tried it along with the porters and the stouts and the reds and the ambers, because that was where I was sticking when I first moved here. I haven't had a Scotch Ale since then, nor have I seen a Scotch Ale since then, to be completely honest with you.
Because nobody wants to drink it. This is the, I just typed this into Google, and craftbeer.com describes a Scotch Ale as overwhelmingly malty with a rich and dominant sweet malt flavor and aroma. A caramel character is often part of the profile. Some examples feature a light smoked peat flavor. This style could be considered the Scottish version of an English style barley wine. Now, if you listen to this podcast and you know me, you know that I am all about barley wines.
Yeah, it's like your favorite style.
It's
you can't
go-to.
Get enough.
I can't get enough of
you
it.
You love 13% super sweet beers. It's
yeah,
what
dude,
you love.
It's my jam.
Yeah. He's lying.
This style is tough on me.
So it's only 6.5, so you don't
That's
have to
great.
Worry too much about the
That's
strength
great,
of it.
Because I'm always worried. Most Scotch ales that I've seen, I remember my early days at Breakside, they made a Scotch ale every once in a while. And it we served it in 10-ounce glasses because it was like 8.5.
Right. So take a sip, take a smell. This style is up my alley because it's malt forward. Now, my palate has changed quite a bit. I've become more hop dominant. I prefer IPAs. I love the crispy boy stuff, but I'll still every once in a while go back to my roots. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my favorite style is still a barrel-aged stout. I will pick that first every time.
Right.
But I've stopped kind of going after porters and reds as much as I used to, just because I've grown to really like the hops and the pails and stuff like that. This is good.
This is a good beer.
I took the sip and I was like, all right, I like the malt body. It's got a good body. It's a little bit too sweet at the back end, but I know that's part of this style. Is to be sweet and caramely, which is it is at the back end of the sip. I like it. I like it.
I like it too. I think this beer works.
You hypocrite. Nobody wants to drink this, but this beer's really good.
Like, I don't know what to say, man. This beer, I did not...
You know what I like about it? I like that there's depth. This is my favorite thing about beer is when there's depth of flavor. It starts off roasty, and it kind of it starts off immediately malty, and then the mid palate, it's got a good body to it. It's roasty, and then comes the caramel,
yeah,
and then comes the sweetness, and it kind of balances out because it is very dry and roasty, and then it gets sweet, so it balances it. And you know what we always say? It makes you want to go back for another sip because you got the sweetness. You're like, well, I need to balance that out with the roastiness,
yeah,
and it keeps the loop going. It's a good beer.
It is a good beer.
How about that?
How about that?
Because you didn't try this when you were there, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I waited.
Yeah, this was the first.
Because I was so blown away. I finally went there, and I was like, I even asked the bartender there. I said, so tell me about this Cold Smoke. They were like, it's our number one selling beer. I was like, are you bleeping kidding me? He was like, why? No, I'm not kidding you. And he just looked at me so strange. And so I was like, well.
I like this beer.
I bought the variety pack.
I love lamb.
I bought the variety pack because I didn't want a six pack of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fear for my life, and now I wish I would have got the six pack.
Because it's good. Although the other one you got in the variety pack is a little scary. It's a coffee cold smoke.
Which I definitely don't want.
I don't want that either.
I don't care how good this is. I definitely don't want that. So feel free to DM us on Instagram at beersonus. If you want these coffee cold smokes, they're yours.
You only have one, right?
No, I have two. Oh. It's a variety pack. Came with two of each. This is the variety pack. Two 16 ounces of this Northwest India Pale Ale.
Which is old.
Two 16 ounces of a different India Pale Ale.
Which is now terrifying to you.
Two 16 ounces of cold smoke.
Which you're very happy
and
about.
And two 16 ounces of coffee cold smoke.
Which might be the most terrifying thing.
Half the variety pack is a scotch ale. This is what I cannot get through. I cannot explain this enough to get people to understand how ridiculous and uncommon in my world this is. Like, my brain hurts.
I think for most listeners of this podcast, it's uncommon.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Nobody makes scotch ales here. Nobody. And I mean nobody. But this is good.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Montana knows. It's a good beer.
Yeah.
And your buddy was right.
I'm glad that I waited to try it. I still am not taking this to the mountain with me, but I understand why one would.
Well, it's warming.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's going to make you feel better when you're cold out in the snow.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a winter sport guy. In fact, I hate it. But I would never go to a mountain and ski in my life. I did it once and I cried miserably as a kid. No, not me.
I just spend too much money on summer sports, like water sports.
Like beer?
Like rafting and stuff.
Ah.
Well, no, like, well, I mean, this year's a different exception. But so I just never got into it. So, I don't want to have to, like, buy skis and a board or poles or...
Also, I don't want to get lost and die. So, anyway, this is a great beer. This is the Cold Smoke from Kettle House.
It's a good beer.
Brewing Company. I was going to say Beer Works. Kettle House Brewing Company, which is in Bonner, Montana, apparently. And
but they had a tap room in Missoula, so I went to Missoula.
Gotcha. So it's from their original, I guess, is in Bonner. I don't know where that is. And very good. If you want to try a Scotch Ale, go to Montana. Because this is not going to be here. I was going to say, go find it. You can't find it.
Unless you want the coffee. I've got two of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Because Patrick's drinking the other one of this because he likes it.
No, I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see. I might drink it with a buddy and see what he thinks.
It's a good beer.
Yeah.
There's no off flavors. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not too sweet. Maybe a little bit at the back end, but that's the style.
I was also really surprised when I opened up that variety box, and they were all 16-ounce cans. I didn't know that until today when I put them in the fridge. I opened the thing up, and I was like, these are 16-ounce cans? Man.
Was that a negative reaction?
It was a surprised reaction. I was like, who's putting... And then I found the coffee scotch ale in 16-ounce cans. Who does that?
Montana does that.
That's the breakfast beer.
All right, that's good.
That's the early tea time in the early spring when it's still a little brisk in the air.
That's gonna do it for us today on the podcast. Patrick's week in beer. The sabbatical is over. We said when he would be back, we're gonna be doing a little bit more on location stuff as allowed. Although the numbers are spiking a little bit, so we're gonna have to be cautious and be aware of what's happening, but. We at least wanted to go tackle some of the places we had put off since pre-COVID. Also, before the weather gets bad and it's going to be harder to do that kind of stuff. We're kind of on that border already anyway because Halloween's Saturday and that's always when winter starts, basically. So we'll figure it out. The messenger messaged us about a possible...
The gift that keeps on giving.
About a possible episode that we'll be doing in the near-ish future. So we'll pursue that a little bit as well. But we're both in town. Well, we're both here.
I'm not going anywhere.
So,
I gotta go find a job.
That you do. Thursdays at around 4, as long as I don't forget to post it on time like I did last week. Whoops. You can find this podcast every single week. Thank you guys for listening. Instagram.com/beersonus. If you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, review, and download. It helps. And we'll see you guys next week.
God door says,
go Scotches.
No.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.